I've been blessed in years past serving under men that were godly men, that looked to God's Word, that held God's Word in high esteem and taught God's Word with conviction, fearlessness, and unashamedness. I've served under those that were elders that not only did that, but also set an example in the life that they lived. And it was an honor being in a congregation with such men. I've been in studies with some great Bible students and learned from them in understanding Scripture and making application. And in both of those instances, it was an honor serving under them. But it pales in comparison to the honor of serving God. I want to share some thoughts with you concerning the great honor that it is to serve the one true and living God. First of all, because of who He is. We see in Mark 12, chapter verse 29, Jesus answered and said, "First, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Quoting from, of course, the Old Testament, wherever He makes this statement. And wherever I think about this statement here in connection with the honor of serving God and who God is that there the contingencies of what is expected, the contingencies of a person, the honorability of them, the unchanging of them in this sense being God, it is something that you can count on. That there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And when we think about that, we live in a world where there are those that we can become very attached to, very friendly with. And we always have to keep in our minds, if we're thinking spiritually, that they are still humans and they can still make mistakes. And I've been let down by some in the past that have made mistakes that I had thought was true servants of God. But they turned out not to be.
Girls, can I help you?
We need to go ahead and silence, and mute your microphones, please. Thank you. But with God, that is not the case. He is constant. And because of that, it is an honor to serve Him. And also, as we see, God is Spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. As Jesus said to the woman at the well in John the 4th chapter, the Samaritan woman. And whenever I think about that passage of Scripture, I recognize the honor of serving God because He does not have the appetites that cause so much conflict and friction that is in this world today. Because He is Spirit, He is above that which is physical. And just as Jesus said before He went to the cross, "I have overcome the world." And He could say that because He too was deity. When we see John the 3rd chapter in verse 33, Jesus says, "He who has received His testimony has certified that God is true." Again, there's no lies. There's absolute truth that is there. Sometimes as He speaks to us in things that are hard for us to hear, but always needed for us to hear in connection with correction in our lives today. We see over in Matthew 22, verse 31 through 32, where Jesus says, "But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. It is an honor to serve God because He is eternal." And because of that promise that He has left those that are His children to be eternally with Him. We see when we look in Acts 10 verse 34, as Peter spoke to Cornelius and his household, After seeing the vision that he had seen earlier and pondering on that, meditating on that vision that he saw with all the unclean animals on the sheet that was let down from heaven with the command that came from the Lord, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. When he replied, not so, Lord, nothing common or unclean has ever entered in my mouth. And Jesus replies him, you do not call what I have cleansed unclean. He come to this understanding concerning his God that God is not a respecter of persons. And that gives me comfort and honor in serving God, because I recognize He's not going to look at my lowly estate and say, I will not accept Him because He is nothing in the eyes of others. And so it's an honor from that standpoint. Also, when we see in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And He is not, as some try to make Him, an Indian giver. He gives that promise in connection with those that are faithful, because God is faithful and He will always do what He said that He would do. There are those that claim that because one can fall from grace, that we are saying that God is an Indian giver. That's not the case. The fact of the matter is, because He is faithful, He will not remain in fellowship with those that reject Him. 1 Corinthians 14, chapter verse 33, we also see that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. There will never be a conflicting message that comes from God. We have that, of course, already written down for us in the once and for all delivered word that we have. And there is no conflict in that whatsoever. God is not the author of confusion. Confusion exists where man and his wisdom and his mind then speaks forth supposedly from the mind of God, which he cannot know except by what has been revealed. It's an honor serving one that does not cause confusion, but rather gives peace. In 1 John 1 and verse 5, John says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There is not an evil thought, not an evil cause, not an evil intent from God, but only that which is light and truth and purity that comes from him. We worship God because of who he is, and it should be an honor to do so. In 1 John 4 and verse 8, God is love. It's not the infatuation that the world is familiar with in connection with love, but it is that true higher form of love where he tells us what we need to know, whether we want to hear it or not. It is there for us to look into and to see for our correction and also for our instruction in the way of righteousness, as Paul puts it in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. Because of these things, it's an honor to serve God. But also because of what he has provided, it's an honor to serve him. 2 Corinthians 9, chapter and verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. You see, he is a supplier. He is a supplier to us in every facet of our life, what is needed. There's not one thing that God has not needed in order for us to succeed as children of God. And this is, I believe, the point that Paul is getting to here in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. He makes all his grace abound to you. You have all sufficiency. You have abundance, and abundance for every good work. Everything has been provided by God. The whole provision for our success, nothing left out, is given to us if we do his will. In Luke the 17th chapter, verse 20 and 21. Now when he had asked the Pharisees, that is Jesus, when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say here or say there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. And I take comfort in that, and it is such an honor to serve a God that is not caught up in what the world is caught up in, and that is corporate organizations by which, of course, there are hierarchies here upon this earth, but rather it is that which is spiritual and given to us. And it's an honor to do that, because involved in that is absolute purity. Purity of truth. Purity of provision. And not, of course, in association with what man thinks, but rather what God thinks. We see over in Romans 5th chapter, verse 5 through 9. Paul says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in your hearts. We have that as provision that's been given to us by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Speaking, of course, there of the giving of the Word. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than have been now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. We see the provision that is made by the love of God pouring out in our hearts that which was provided by the sacrifice of His Son upon the cross. I want us to think about and ask the question, who of us would be worthy of that? And based upon our own good, that is answered right here in Romans 5th chapter, is not from our own good. It's not from our own righteousness. But rather, it is the provision made by a great and honorable God that has love for each and every one. What an honor it is to serve Him. John 3 and verse 16, For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We think about that provision. We think back quite often to Abraham, who in his old age, 100 years old, and his wife in her 90s, brought forth the promised child. They'd taken matters in their own hands earlier. It wasn't the provision that God had made for Ishmael to be the child of promise, but rather that which came from the loins of Abraham and from the womb of Sarah. And we look at that provision that was made by God, and we think back whenever God gave him the command, take your son, your only son, up on the mount, and there you sacrifice him unto me. And I believe that Abraham, as we see the Hebrew writer speak of it, understood that God would make provision. And he did that. He made provision, and a ram was caught in the thicket. Whenever God stayed the hand of Abraham before offering Isaac as a sacrifice. When we think about that, that pales in comparison to what God, the God of heaven, did in giving His only begotten Son, having Him sacrificed for it. What an honor. And who deserves that? Also, it is an honor of serving God because of what He has promised. There are so many promises that are in this world today, a lot of promises that take place. Have you ever been promised something and someone not follow through with that promise? If you've lived any period of time at all, well, that has happened to you. And sometimes it happens because men are just liars. And then sometimes it happens because events take place out of their control where they can't follow through. Or they can't follow through because we're not there to receive the promise, because we either back out of it or something has prevented us from being able to receive that promise. But not so with God. James 1 chapter verse 12 through 16. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of righteousness which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And lust when it has conceived brings forth sin, and sin when it is finished brings forth death. When we think about that, here we have this promise. You are not going to be tempted by me, God says. And we think about His higher power. We think about His sovereignty. We think about His ability, which nothing is beyond Him. If He wanted to put a temptation upon us that we could not endure, He could easily do that with no problem whatsoever. But because He is God and all these other things we've looked at, what goes along with this promise right here is that He's true and that He's faithful and He doesn't lie. And He will not then tempt us. When we look over in 1 John 2, verse 24 through 27, John says, Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And that which you have heard is speaking of God's Word, the preaching of the gospel. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. Think about that in the world today. There are many promises that are made. There are always commercials on TV or on the internet. Someone has found the fountain of youth. If you'll just take this, you'll live long. We have the pictures of the 80-plus year old man that is a bodybuilder right now on the internet. And I will guarantee you someone's done a lot of work with that. in order to make him appear as he does appear. And so promises are there. If you will use this product, if you will put this on, well, then you will have strength. You will be just like you were in your 30s or 40s. And I think the only one that ever lived in that situation was Moses. Moses, when he was led up on the mountain, when his time was over, you remember that the scripture says his eye was not dim and the moisture that was within him was not diminished. And that because of God. But we have the promise that is something here that we can count on from our God, because He is honorable and it is an honor to serve Him, that we have this promise of eternal life. The things that I've written to you, John goes on and says, written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you have not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. The anointing there is not a physical aleifo anointing, as Mary did in anointing Jesus before His death, but this is the Christos, the Creo anointing. That is from God's Word. Anointed, where it is then applied to the hearts of men to follow. And because of that, then we have this promise. The promise of eternal life. We look in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Here's that other promise. We saw back in James, the first chapter, God says, I won't tempt you. But He even goes further. 1 John 10, verse 13. No temptation is taken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will always make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Have you ever witnessed, have you ever read about someone that is being adversely affected by someone else? And when they see just a little crack, just a little opening, they apply even more pressure in order to get them to do something that they want. They keep pouring it on. And this is exactly the opposite to that, where the promise that we have that not only is God not going to tempt you, but He will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. Have the understanding in that, and something that is needful for us to understand, that no matter what comes in our life, no matter what comes upon us, whether it is that which is physical with disease, whether it is financial, whether it is whatever it is, that if it comes upon us, there is an understanding from this passage of Scripture that we can overcome. If we couldn't overcome, it wouldn't come upon us. That's what God has said. There is the overcoming, and not only with the overcoming, He says there's also the way of escape, which tells us because of the honor of God, because of God, of who He is and what He's provided, this promise tells us that you don't have to follow sin. You don't have to follow Satan's advances, that allurement that he puts forth. You don't have to do it. You can make choice not to serve Satan. Because God has said, I will not allow you to be tempted with what you are not able to stand. But also the honor of serving God, because He is not a pushover. Galatians 6, chapter verse 7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows of the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, and he who sows of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. 1977, Daryl and I started work out at the same location. The IGC, he went to the power plant, I went to the mines. My first day on the job, I was put with another person to show me around, let me know what was taking place, some of the expectations and all. And he was an hourly worker also. And he said, most of the supervisors, they're pretty good. He said, there's this one guy. He said, he is hard-nosed. Boy, he expects you to work. There's expectation. And if you're not, you're in trouble. He says, but you know, we respect him. He said, there's another one here. You can get by with anything you want. Make any excuse you want. He'll let you go. He says, nobody respects him whatsoever. And I think that is true in society. That if there is not expectation, if there's not a deterrence to do that which is not right, well, then there really is no respect for the situation or for the person. But we see here in Galatians 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. Think about it from all these other standpoints that we have made. God confronted then with the thought, God, are you really a God of love? God, are you really wanting the best for me? God, don't you think you should change your mind? God said, you know, you're right, I was wrong. I was wrong. It doesn't matter what you do. Think about that in connection with those who had lived for him. They gave their lives for him. And then think about those that rejected and rebelled against him. And then he changes his mind and says, you're all the same. No, that's not honor. But we can honor our God because he's not a pushover. We also see in Hebrews 12, verse 28 and 29, therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. God doesn't want us to fear him, but God wants us to fear him. Let me explain. God doesn't want us to live in frightened fear all the days of our life. God wants us to respect him and reverence him, and also to keep in mind that he's not a pushover. And it is honor because he is that way to serve him. I ask you this afternoon, are you serving God? Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 24 and 25, Paul says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. And I think you have there an explanation of what I just got through speaking about concerning God not being a pushover. He doesn't want us to live in fear, but he wants us to fear him in the proper way. You think about this passage here, and there are so many. They call themselves brethren that are more interested in serving people rather than serving God. I will tell you what, that people will be served in the way that they should be served and honored in the way that they are honored if we don't withhold the truth from God's word from them. But we do them a disservice and we do ourselves a disservice if we don't speak the truth. Speaking it from love, but speaking the truth to them concerning their soul salvation. We look over in Matthew 4 and verse 10. Jesus being tested by Satan. Away with you, Satan, he is told. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. There's not an exception to that. We had a study on Thursday night where we talked. There were questions that came up about a particular religion that worship reverences others other than Christ Jesus. And we use this passage as a proof text. That him only we serve, him only we worship, him only we bow down to. And that was the request by Satan here in Matthew the 4th. Bow down and worship me, and I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth. And so the reply comes from Jesus. And he says there, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. If we're in servitude to anyone else, well then we're actually not honoring God the way that we are to honor him. And it's not an honor to us to serve him. It's an honor to serve someone else. I ask you this afternoon, I apologize to you. I know that you really hate this, that these were two pretty short sermons today. Yeah. But as I've always said, I preach until I'm through. I'm through. Other than to, of course, offer that which is always offered, and that is an invitation. There are those that will use the term, it is our tradition to offer an invitation. I categorically deny that. I look back in Scripture, and I see the invitation that is offered by Peter. I see that on the day of Pentecost. I see, and I believe if Paul had gotten a little bit more time with those of Athens, he would have gone further into this also, but he had offered an invitation in there. God is not served with man's hands. And he's not to be pacified. He's a God of love. He gives to all breath and life and being. And that offering of salvation, that offering of all these things where we can have that honor to serve God is ever given to us in Scripture. And sometimes, as it is, like when we come together, we need to word those things and let people know that He's not far off. Paul talks about in Romans the 10th chapter concerning about God not being far off, and that His Word is not far off, but is near you. And we have that through His Word. Would you, if you're not a child of God this evening, become one? It's not hard. It begins a walk that can be hard, many times is hard, but the obedience to become a child of God is not hard. Because all you need to do is, first of all, trust in God. And that's what the Hebrew writer told, of course, those, as he wrote to them in Hebrews, those Jews, hold the beginning of your confidence steadfast to the end. That's that trust. You're not required to take a test where you quote so many scriptures and know or be able to give an exegesis of scriptures. Trust in God. Trust Him. And you'll find the honor in serving. And trust Him through faith with a change of mind, naming His name and being baptized for the remission of your sins. And then those of us that have already done that, do we count it as an honor, a true honor, to serve God? Or, well, it's Sunday and we've got to get up there to the building because it's expected of us. What is our desire? Is it from honor unto our God that has given us so much? Or is it a work that we've turned it into? If there are those we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.